So we've all heard this term, imposter syndrome. It's something that you've probably seen on a YouTube video title or even on a TikTok or anything on social, or it's something that you've probably identified with for a particularly long period of time, especially if you're put in a workplace in which you wholeheartedly deserve, first off, but you constantly kind of question yourself if you really do deserve it, if you do deserve a place in that position. And again, the driving question behind imposter syndrome, this persona that is kind of inevitable, is, do I really deserve what I have right now? And as you can easily tell, it can be extremely toxic depending on the extent in which you take it. And it's, first off, imposter syndrome isn't something that you can just like kind of throw away, you know, like a old piece of food or something like that. It's something that's inevitable. It's going to be kind of talking in the back of your head as you're kind of progressing your career or even progressing in your own life. It's kind of like fixing, open quotations, what's wrong about you, as in like, what do you really think that you deserve that? Hopefully that dialogue doesn't sound familiar, but if it does, that's definitely imposter syndrome talking to you. Now, the reason I brought this up is because I've read a few articles recently, and especially like I'm currently reading a book that kind of implies this behavior of this imposter syndrome. It's kind of like a voice that kind of beckons for your attention, that makes you constantly question your value as a person, as a human being. And it can be very, very, as we talked about, very toxic. And again, the reason I brought it up is because it seems like this topic is being brought up a lot. And then all of a sudden, all my social media feeds are all these people talking about imposter syndrome and verifying that it does exist, and, you know, kind of breaking the stigma that only a few people feel it, because it does feel like in the world there are some cocky cocks that think that they deserve what they have and they're overly confident. And we're like, damn, how come they don't feel imposter syndrome? But the real main truth is that everyone feels imposter syndrome. Now, the world is full of very great actors. Some people are just very good at hiding it and very good at dealing with it. And hopefully, you know, with what we talk about today, it'll help you deal with it a little bit better, especially if you are kind of going through it in such an intense way. Just a little something about me is that I have suffered through imposter syndrome. I've suffered through so many feelings of inferiority, and I still continue to, and it cripples my own behavior and how I carry myself. And it's not something that I typically share on like a, you know, casual day with friends. And it's really something that I talk about with my family as well, but just self-image issues. I have a lot of things that go in my head that kind of relate to this imposter syndrome. Like, why should I do that? Why should I start a podcast? Why should I be talking in front of a camera? I'm not good looking. I'm not all these things, right? Like this voice that, again, that keeps crunching out these terrible negative thoughts in my head. And it's just become really, really bad. And to a point during the pandemic, I don't know if you can relate, but it got really bad, especially if you're kind of in isolation, you're talking to a, you know, a computer screen with like 50 different people in a room and you're on mute and your video's off. And of course, like you feel that intense level of isolation. And it's not just restricted to the pandemic with just Zoom. It's also just a feeling that you probably have on a day-to-day basis where you're constantly questioning yourself about, you know, do you deserve this? Do you deserve to have this life that you're envisioning for yourself? Or even if you have the life that you envision for yourself, do you still have those feelings of inferiority? And most likely the answer is yes. Like those are things, again, you can't toss away like it's something that you can just throw out or discard from your life as if it's just like some sort of like, you know, passing common cold. But there was a few books that came to mind when I was reading these things about the imposter syndrome that people are feeling nowadays, especially with remote work and especially with not even just remote work, but also going back into work and like you're placed in an environment full of people that are, you feel that are better than you and that are trying to, you know, be as confident as they can be. And it makes you feel inferior and all those like feelings bubbling up inside of you. So I think it's really important to address that imposter syndrome is extremely real and extremely addressable. And it should be a concept or a persona that should be verified that it does exist. It's not something that only a few given people suffer from, but pretty much everyone suffers from. So the reason I bring this up again is because there was this interesting idea that a book I recently borrowed from the library called The Untethered Soul, I believe. I haven't read enough of it to say who the author is. Singer, I think. An Untethered Soul. I think it's the one with the horse in the front of it. Anyways, As you know, in this podcast, we talk about books and how it can relate to our lives and how we can look at life in a very different perspective. And hopefully with that different perspective, we can deal with it a little bit better, you know, a little more humorously, because life shouldn't be taken too seriously. But of course, there's always room for improvement. But to the point in which we kind of figure out for ourselves, what is enough? What does the idea of success mean? And in this case, like, what does the idea of being content with who we are and where we are currently in our lives at this present moment, right? So that's the whole point of this episode. So in this book, The Untethered Soul, or an Untethered Soul, right? I don't know. Again, I'm kind of done with the first few chapters. Again, I didn't really jump right into it and get enveloped by the books as I typically do when I do introduce them to you. But in this case, this one really brought a very, very palpable feeling of a secondary person. And the reason I bring this up is because I think the whole book kind of revolves around this concept of this voice, right? As I talked about previously, that this imposter syndrome actually is a voice. And if you can accept the idea or just the concept of that being that this imposter syndrome is like a separate being entity from you, then it'll probably be extremely helpful. It has really helped me, especially as I'm kind of journaling through my own thoughts, especially with, like, again, like I said, I have a very crippling inferiority complex. But anyways, as we're trying to solve this together, the book mentions that, you know, when you sit around with your thoughts for a while, you kind of wonder where this voice is coming from. All these opinions, like if you just sit down in your room and you kind of think to yourself for like 10 minutes, like you don't do anything. If you're irritable, like you have to like sit on your hands and you're just alone in a room with your thoughts. And like we mentioned a quote before by Blaise Pascal saying that like most of the world's problems stems from the inability of one person to sit with their own thoughts for an extended period of time. And again, the author welcomes you to do that for at least just 5 to 10 minutes and without even thinking about anything, right? Just letting your mind wander, like not trying to silence everything, because the more you try to prevent like thoughts from happening, the more they'll come up. Like it's like telling yourself to, I need to sleep in the middle of the night because you need to sleep, but then you end up just staying awake because of these thoughts being so intense of like you're forcing yourself to go to sleep rather than naturally. So going off of that, if you were to sit down with your thoughts for, you know, 5 minutes, like if you were to just do it right now, you'll notice that you're not alone, right? Like you hear your thoughts, you hear just this random voice critiquing everything that you're kind of visualizing right in front of you, or maybe like memories that you're visualizing in your head and that you're commenting on that. And you're like, oh, remember that time, blah, blah, blah. Or I'm hungry. All these random commentaries that you didn't ask for that are coming up. That is a voice that's living inside of you. And it's something that we've heard about all the time, right? Like your inner voice or your inner child or something like that. But this book takes it a little bit further. And again, this is only like with like 4 chapters into the book, in which he calls it like your roommate, meaning that the voice that you hear making those comments and, you know, at times where we do give this voice actual energy in which we vocalize what we're thinking, like, you know, if you picture people talking out loud or thinking out loud by Ed Sheeran, it is an actual voice that lives in your head that the book clarifies is not a part of you. And let's kind of dive into that a little bit. What does that mean exactly that it's not a part of you? Now, let's just think about the commentary that's going through your head. You know, let's just say that you're walking down a street or you're outside, outdoors, doing something, getting groceries. You're looking around. You're a very observant person, apparently. And like you can hear the commentary in your head, judging the people, what they're wearing, like how they're carrying themselves, or like how expensive items are, things like that. Now, giving the voice, that voice, your roommate, as the author calls it, energy by kind of vocalizing every single thought, don't you think it's kind of annoying? Like, it's just such an irritating idea to give that voice the energy to use your own voice, like your actual, you know, physical voice, to verbalize every single thought that comes to your head. It gets quite annoying, and that can delve a little bit more into your emotions as well, right? Like if you feel like very angry commentary and you give that the energy to vocalize, that could lead to really big problems for you because, you know, not every emotion should be acted on. And of course, it's easier said than done. Like we all go through the motions of just saying things we regret saying and just acting out of anger and reacting instead of kind of thinking about things before we react with our raw emotion. But this author, I'm just going to say this author because I keep forgetting the author's name. I'm not that too enveloped by the book yet, and hopefully we'll come to a point where I am. It's saying that this voice is a separate entity from yourself. Now, for those that kind of experience imposter syndrome is actually weaponized against you if you identify with the voice, right? As we've said previously, like, the whole point of imposter syndrome is the idea that you question your value in a given point in your life. How do you question it? You kind of say, do I really deserve this? Oh, man, you don't deserve this. Somebody else deserves to be in this position. What makes you think that you're going to do a good job about you know, with this job or whatever? And those questions are that voice. It's that voice that you kind of hear in your head. Now, once we identify with that voice and we say, oh, you're right, man, like, who am I to do? You know, like, you're actually giving it dialogue. You're actually allowing yourself to feed into these questions. And that's what develops into a wholehearted and fully developed and fleshed out imposter syndrome, which can be extremely dangerous for you, for a person who has so much potential and can do so much if you don't listen to every single thought that your voice says. So the extremely, extremely important tool that to keep in mind here is that you are not that voice that is commentating, right? And this kind of goes back to philosophy, I think, therefore I am kind of thing. And thinking about the idea of I, and this was reminiscent of a book I read a long time ago. Again, like when I was reading this book, I thought about this book called You're Not Everything You Think or something like that. It's something I'll bring up again, but it's a book. It's like, you're not everything that you think you are. And it kind of has a similar idea of that. When we think too hard about something and we allow this voice to feed into our thoughts, then we develop into this negative thoughts of imposter syndrome or inferiority, that we kind of believe in this dialogue that is being said, as opposed to allowing the voice to talk and not identifying with it and simply just being observant of those thoughts. Because like we said before, you cannot just throw away those thoughts. We can't just throw away the voice like it's just, you know, something we can just toss aside. It is something that's going to be a part of us, but it's our choice to embody it, right? Giving it a voice, which, you know, like, is basically saying giving it every ounce of energy that you can to give it a voice and vocalize every thought that comes to your head. Or you can be a mere and simple observer of those thoughts and allow only the select thoughts to be kind of given that energy or whatever, you so be it, right? Like, if you feel the need to tell someone that you love them, of course you would ideally want to give that energy to that voice, that dialogue that's coming up in your head. But if you're going to say to someone like, oh, you're ugly, like, look at the way you dress, look at the way you look, your big nose, all that stuff, of course it's totally up to your discretion what you're going to choose to give energy to, which voice and which dialogues that you're going to choose, obviously. So again, the most important tool when you're attacking this imposter syndrome is to know that you are not that voice in your head, or as the author says, the roommate that kind of ruminates in your head about these thoughts, the thoughts that, you know, ideally you want to think about, but also that you ideally don't want to think about. But you have to be an observer. You can't just take every dialogue that this person says, this voice, I'm saying this person now because, you know, we're trying to build up the perspective that this is not you. And when you say, I am angry, that, you know, this is the more philosophical approach. They're saying that the I is its own person. And like, that's basically what this book is saying, is that this voice is its own person. It's not you. It may live with you. It's your roommate, but it's not you. The feelings of inferiority, or the dialogue that tells you that you're not enough, that tells you that, you know, ugh, like, you really want to be with that person, or things like that, things that make you question your natural way of doing things, that is just your roommate talking. That's not you, you know, that's not your gut. Don't get those two confused. Your gut and that roommate are two separate things. And sometimes, and most of the time, actually, that roommate that lives in your head, that lives in your soul, is actually going against your gut. So it's very, very dangerous to kind of trust that inner voice sometimes. And that's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, this podcast included, promote the idea of just journaling and doing all those things that you need to do to get those thoughts out and kind of differentiate what is your gut and what exactly is that voice. So that's the main thing I wanted to leave you with. Sorry, I couldn't get the secondary book's title, you know, out of my head. I think it's You're Not Everything That You Think. Give me a second. I'm going to look it up. I think it's in my Kindle real quick. Give me a second. Okay, here we go. It's called Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nguyen. Okay, Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nguyen. So that entire book is just the idea that you're going to have these incessant thoughts, which, you know, complementary to the book that we were just talking about, An Untethered Soul, is saying that this is a voice, a roommate that lives in your head. Now, Joseph Nguyen, in his book, Don't Believe Everything You Think, takes it a little step further, and kind of the whole book goes off of this, is saying that you shouldn't give power to that voice all the time. Like we said, when you give power to the voice, it means that you actually vocalize those thoughts. And we don't want to vocalize every single thought that comes in our head, because not every thought in our head is very good. It's not always going to be daisies and fun, right? It's going to be, some thoughts are going to be extremely judgmental or very, very critical about other people in such a negative way. Now, we don't want to give power to those thoughts. And that's what Joseph Nguyen basically says in his Don't Believe Everything You Think. And his is a more psychological approach. I would say this Untethered Soul book is more like a philosophical approach, right? Like, you are separate from, like, the I that you say. Like, I am angry. That's not you. I is not you. But Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nguyen is more of like a psychological approach. Like, saying, like, do not give power to the idea that your thinking is you, and don't give power to that, you know, any particular strand of thinking or branch of thinking that negatively affects you, and only give power to the ones that really benefit you and benefit others as first off, right? So again, those, if you really want to dive into the idea of imposter syndrome, or if you're suffering through some sort of imposter syndrome, as we all are, I recommend those two books, An Untethered Soul. I keep forgetting the title, but it's probably a very popular book wherever you're coming from. It just so happens that it was at the top of my recommended when I downloaded my library app. That, An Untethered Soul, is a very great book in unison with Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nguyen, because those two books kind of reinforce the same idea that you are not that voice, like that roommate that lives inside of you, because they can get very temperamental. But they can also be very gracious. So it's not something that you want to completely silence all to begin with, but rather just be selective of the thoughts or selective of the dialogues that you want to energize or give your energy to and vocalize yourself. So again, An Untethered Soul and Don't Believe Everything You Think are two great books in which you should probably, if you want to, just look up the summary of either if you want to, or if you really want to dive into the anecdotal value of these things. And also, you know, reading is great. If you want to really read these books, I definitely recommend them, picking them up, especially if you're going through something like imposter syndrome, just like me, just like everyone that's in your life has encountered it. So hopefully when you learn these principles, you're not only helping yourself in a way, but you're also, as always, helping other people to combat these feelings, because we all are human beings. We all share the same blood. We share the same insecurities. We share all the same voice that's in our head, right? And they come in different forms. It can be, if you think about who that voice belongs to, it could be yourself. It could be your parents, like very strict parents from the past, or someone that was very critical about you and your being in the past. So figuring out who that voice belongs to will help further kind of build that gap between yourself, which is the observer, and the voice, in which is your roommate in this whole endeavor, which we call life. So I hope that was helpful. Again, the two books are An Untethered Soul and Don't Believe Everything You Think. Both are relatively small to medium sized reads. But again, if you're encountering bouts of imposter syndrome and you want to deal with that going into the new year, I highly recommend those books. And especially going into it with the intention that you can spread the word, in which we just talked about now in this episode, to other people that are dealing with the same exact imposter syndrome and, you know, fighting against this voice, or, you know, constantly identifying with it, which can be very negative in the long term. It's not sustainable. So as always, this podcast is meant to kind of discuss books, discuss concepts, you know, to shift our own perspective of life to our own benefit first, and then also to kind of serve and help other people by spreading the same message, that they can, you know, attain anything that they put their mind to or their heart to, by not allowing that negative voice to keep bickering in the back of your head, and just be a mere observer and be selective with which thoughts that will actually come into fruition, that will actually leave your body in the form of, you know, your voice to other people and other sort of ways, things like that. So I really hope this was helpful. I really hope that you're January has been going really well. 2024 seems like it's going to be a great year. I hope that you can agree and you can align with that high energy, I guess. High energy, and I said, I guess, see? So dealing with the inferiority again, right? That voice can't stop. So I really hope this is helpful. If this was helpful, do share to whoever you think that is dealing with a very similar thing, because we're all dealing with it, and I really hope the best for you, and I hope that you wish the best for you, so you can not just help yourself, but help other people in the process. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next week.